You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, June 23rd, 2010. This is episode 137, Wells Tech Road Trip, New Ulm, Minnesota. We're back again with another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. We're right in the middle of our road trip. Sally, good morning.
Hey, Martin. Great to talk to you this morning. I'm excited about this trip we're making today. It's a big 15 minutes away from me.
We're leg two of the Wells Tech road trip. Last week we were in Colorado. Today, where are we?
We are heading to New Ulm, Minnesota, to the campus of Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School. Recently, they implemented a new student management system. It's called Infinite Campus, and we're going to talk to their registrar, Teacher Heath Dobberpool, about it.
Mm-hmm. And you're very familiar with MVL, correct?
That's right. I'm an MVL mom, and I have enjoyed using Infinite Campus, particularly because they have this addictive option out at MVL where they sell the kids these cookies after lunch. So keeping up with my son's cookie expenses has been a huge benefit to Infinite Campus.
That's right in their feature list. I saw that. So let's talk with Heath Dobberpool from Minnesota Valley Lutheran in New Ulm, Minnesota. Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast and on our road trip series is Heath Dobberpool from Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School in New Ulm, Minnesota. Good morning, Heath.
Good morning.
Thank you, first of all, for taking the time to join us. Is school finished there for the summer?
Finished a week ago.
Oh, okay. Very good. So you are registrar and instructor there. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your history with MVL.
I've been here at MVL for just finished my third year, and after serving as principal for a number of years at other schools, I've been here for 3 years, teaching mainly science classes, although I'm going to pick up a world geography class in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 years ago, I took over the registrar position when the previous registrar left, so I've been dealing with things like transcripts and scheduling and advising students for about 2 years now.
Okay. And maybe for some of our listeners who may not be familiar with MVL, MVL is just outside of New Ulm, Minnesota, where our teacher training school is, Martin Luther College. What's the enrollment look like at MVL these days?
We are somewhere around 215, 220.
Okay. All right.
We've been dropping just a little bit, but that's because our grade schools in the area are a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm. Right. And MVL has been around since when?
Ever since the high school up on the hill closed, which was back.
That would be in 79-ish, something
79,
like that.
79.
Right? Okay. Very good. So long-standing history now. You've got a nice tradition there, and I assume that you've got a full complement of educational offerings as well as co-curricular kinds of things.
Yeah, we teach all the classes that all the high schools have, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And one of the needs of certainly a school that size, and maybe any size school, is some way to track your students, their activities, grades, hot lunch, all that good stuff. And that was one of the reasons we wanted to talk with you, and that is about student management systems. And you've been around MVL for a little while now. Do you have any, can you kind of walk us through what went through maybe the decision process of how you would set up and maybe identify the right student management system for MVL?
Oh, of course. It's been fairly apparent for at least a number of the faculty members here at MVL that we could use a change in the way things were done, tracking student data. And one of the main reasons was is dealing with the hot lunch finances portion. It would take, since the regular student information system we had didn't have that as a component, at least a point of sale component, our secretaries would have to spend somewhere around 2 hours a day managing the accounts and communicating with the parents about lunch balances and overdue and all that stuff.
Just for lunch, really? Wow. that doesn't sound very efficient.
No, it wasn't. And so that was one of the reasons. The other main reason we wanted it to go through a change is our old system of managing the records was basically built off of a DOS program that had changed over the years, but it wasn't very friendly when with communicating over the internet. In our previous system, you could find the grades of the current grades that a student had in a class, but no detail beyond that, and it was very reliant upon the teachers each week at a set time posting their grades to a folder that another faculty member had to then post to the website. And it was a system that, while it had the goal of good communication, actually might have caused more miscommunication because you didn't actually know what was included in that grade and what wasn't, and so it was confusing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were looking for a new system, we really wanted something that would handle good web communication, a good portal that would allow good information to the parents to know precisely what's in the grade that they're seeing. And one of the big limitations we had was finding a system that would allow us to use just one program for hot lunch and student records, because very few of them allow you to do point of sale individual charges for hot lunches versus just a straight single charge for your either lunch or no lunch.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few that allow you to do a la carte.
Mm-hmm.
And as a mom of an MVL student, this is Sally, going to jump in here. I know how important that a la carte is because MVL is apparently known for their after lunch cookie sales. And my particular student was quite addicted to them. So I enjoyed knowing how much money he was spending on cookies.
Yeah, that was another big thing, with our old system, the parents would get a notification that their lunch was overdrawn or negative balance, and then they would always have to call the office and get the detail why, and usually it was too many cookies. So now they know what the charges were, and it saves a lot of extra phone calls and office time for office staff.
Wow, your secretaries must be thrilled with the freedom from that responsibility.
Well, and it allows us to use our secretary time more wisely.
Absolutely.
Than doing stuff that could easily be done through a parent portal.
So what about that transition process? If you were on an old system, a DOS-based system at that, and moved to this new system, which is Infinite Campus, how was the transition?
The transition went fairly well. We chose to do the transition in between the semesters of this last year. So we started the first week in January, and while I would have preferred to do a transition over the summer, it actually wasn't all that bad. The database records, the transcript records from our previous program were imported in a way into Infinite Campus. And so while there was some fact-checking that I had to do, it was actually fairly consistent. I only had to go in and tweak a few things. Other than that, it's gone fairly smoothly, and we haven't had many problems at all.
And when did this happen? When did you do the migration?
The migration happened In a period from November to when we went live with the service in January, even then, some things, say some of the transcript stuff wasn't visible to other people but me until later on because I was still fact-checking it.
Mm-hmm. So that was this year?
Yeah, we just finished our first semester.
Ah, okay. And what's been the reaction from those that have used it?
Well, it goes hot and cold. I don't know if the students really enjoy it all that much because the parents are fairly empowered and they have a lot of data to work with. And so I haven't really heard much positive feedback from the students. The parents seem to enjoy it, and they're able to do things like print off unofficial transcripts from the parent portal for things like auto insurance or things like that where it might be useful.
Mm-hmm.
When they go log into the parent portal, they can see the lunch balance. They can see all the transactions there. They can look at the schedule and click on the classes in the schedule to actually look into the grade book for that individual student and see each assignment and how they did on each of the assignments. It worked quite well for that.
Yeah, for my son in particular, he was busy with lots of extra activities in the spring and missing classes for things like Knowledge Bowl or speech meets or whatever. And it was nice to say, oh, yeah, there's an assignment due in language arts that you missed because you were out that day or whatever. So kind of helped me help him stay on top of his responsibilities in that regard.
Is that how is this used as a communications tool as well? So parents communicating with teachers, students communicating with teachers, or is that still kind of outside of this application?
There is a component to Infinite Campus called Messenger, in which since all the parents and students' email addresses as well as the staff are in there, I can easily, as a registrar, I can send out a quick message to everyone saying, we're working on scheduling for the next year and course requests are coming up and this is the format and here's a link to things. I can do that pretty quick broadcast email that way. Another way we communicate with it is by posting announcements to the portal, say our daily announcements that we would have during the day here for the students for whatnot are also available on the portal. Probably the most useful and probably not the most enjoyable for some is the ability for Messenger to, every day at 5 o'clock, Messenger checks all the grade books, and anyone that failed an assignment that day or at least had a failing assignment entered into the grade book that day, an email is automatically generated to the parents saying, that your child has an assignment that was given this score for this assignment. Please check the parent portal for more information or contact the teacher. Another type of thing that goes out at 5 o'clock each day is the messenger will check to see if any new assignments were flagged missing. We define missing here at MVL as something that should have been done a week ago. And now it's missing, and when you flag it missing, the assignment is then counted as a zero for calculation purposes, and that email goes out and says, this needs to be taken care of soon, and the parents get that information. What's really nice is that, for the teachers, say in my classroom, I'll remind them once or twice, and after that, when I flag it missing, that's their job to get it in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bug them. Teaching a high school student to be very on top of things and getting ready for college where no one's going to bug them on a daily basis.
Their parents aren't going to get that email in college. But
they better not be. They got to do it on their own.
Yeah. Well, that seems like a great use of technology. Obviously, the students aren't enjoying that part of it. But normally, students are not all that forthcoming when they've got that F or the missing assignment on their paper. I'm sure, Sally, you haven't experienced that, but I would assume that some parents would really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm really curious about the learning curve, Heath, and what it took for you to get up to speed with the Infinite Campus software, and then how the transition went for your faculty and even for the parents who needed to use the system.
I think our transition went fairly smoothly. When I looked at student management systems, I really wanted something that was intuitive, and I think Infinite Campus, which is actually a fairly young company compared to some of the others, they don't have this history of old programming that they have to work around. So it seems fairly intuitive. It's completely web-based. If you, as at least on the teacher and staff side of things, if you're on a screen and you're not sure of something, if you just change the drop-down on the left panel to help, common articles that would apply to that screen you're on appear on the left side as links, and you can open them up. But I don't find myself using it all that often because it is fairly intuitive. We were able to, during the transition, to really think things through how we do things here at MVL and what might be the, as we go through the transition, what practices might we change that would allow us to very smoothly go through the transition and go from semester to semester, year to year, with less problems in the way we do things with grading and whatnot.
So would you say, just in your estimation, because you've served in elementary schools as well, is this a tool that could be used on the elementary school level?
While it could be, I think the cost would be a little bit prohibitive there. Mm-hmm. It's quite a toolbox. I've served in schools of 80 students or less, and while it would have been useful, I don't see the standard LES being able to afford it.
What is the cost?
The first year cost was $20,000.
Okay.
Which is actually not all that different from most, because what drove that price up was paying for them to convert our
old
records.
Right.
I really did not want to have to go into a new system and enter, you know, 3 years of data for the current seniors and, you know, mistakenly put an A instead of an A-minus, or I suppose the other way too.
Right.
And mess up the GPAs, because that is just so much data, and our GPA in high school is so important to many that I didn't want to mess that up.
Uh-huh.
While there are some schools that use this at the elementary level, they're more district-type schools where you have hundreds and thousands of students.
Right.
Infinite Campus is used statewide in quite a few states, and it's designed more for that large population and high school populations and smaller grade schools.
So after the $20,000, what is your annual cost then?
I don't want to misquote, but I think it's somewhere around $6,000.
And that's, I assume it's per head, right, per student?
Yeah, we're charged per student, and it's slightly more per year after that initial $20,000. It's slightly more per year than what we were using, but actually before we had to have two systems, one for the hot lunch and one for the student information, so it actually is very similar in a yearly cost.
Now, did you look at PowerSchool when you were doing your research?
I did look at PowerSchool quite a bit. It probably would have been my second choice. It's the one that I recommended in second place when I went through the system. I felt that Infinite Campus did a much better job portal-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem with PowerSchool was with the hot lunch. I don't think it did a la carte at all.
Right, that's what I've heard, that if you're really complicated in your hot lunch approach, it doesn't do as good a job.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, one of my main goals here was to have our secretaries be more efficient. And I looked at PowerSchool, and I thought we'd still have to have two programs.
Mm-hmm.
And we want this to be one parent portal. They can go in, they can get the grades, the transcripts, the hot lunch, whatever they need. Dealing with the parents, probably the The most difficult thing is them remembering their username and password.
Right. I can relate to that. Sally, what's been your experience using it?
Well, I just enjoy the up-to-date information. I have a freshman this year, so we only had one semester on the old system, but waiting each week for the updates, and sometimes not all the teachers would do the updates on a weekly basis, and so it's nice to be able to go in and see up-to-date, you know, daily updates to the system, not that, you know, I necessarily need to monitor it that closely, but just having that ability, just, I don't know, it tends to give you more confidence in the system that the information is up to date in that way.
Mm-hmm. Useful tool as you try to help your child.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Very good.
In a way that's really interesting. It's up to date. If I enter a grade in the grade book and a parent logs in 2 seconds later, they can see it. If they were tardy, they can see it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very current.
Yeah, it really strengthens that relationship, that partnership between the school and the parent, I would think.
And it gets around any miscommunication there might be.
Right.
One problem we had was in a physics class, a teacher had a 10-point assignment but entered it as 100 points, but then gave everyone like a 9 or an 8 or a 7. And so suddenly they all failed, and that was found out right away, and it was fixed very promptly.
Right.
Very quick to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Heath, we really appreciate your time today, taking part of your summer out and sharing this with us. And blessings on your work at MVL.
Sure.
And how does enrollment look for the coming year? Have you any sense for that?
Well, we'll be down a little bit because we're graduating a larger class.
Ah,
okay.
All right. Smaller
one. But otherwise, it's fairly stable.
Hopefully sending some students up to the hill to MLC.
Yeah, we send more than a handful each year.
Very good, good. Thanks again for your time. Blessings on your work.
Yes, have a great day.
Okay. So they've just gotten this thing going, and they've got a half year under their belt, and it sounds like things are really perking along there nicely with their new system.
Yeah, after talking with Heath, I went out and checked it out a little further, looked at those unofficial transcripts that you can print from the system, and it's just really impressive, very intuitive to use, and a very professional look to it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep, those come in handy, especially when you're trying to get good driver discounts. Is your son headed toward the getting behind the wheel pretty soon here?
That's a scary question, isn't it? Yeah, actually, he's doing driver's ed this summer. He has a late birthday, so he won't be 15 till the end of the summer, but he's planning on getting that learner's permit as soon as possible. So,
well, there's not much to hit out there in Sleepy Eye anyway, so
it's kind of wide open.
Some comfort there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our picks of the week.
Yeah, and I wanted to point people to a particular article that I actually came across through the Internet Evangelism Day website. They pointed out this article, and maybe you'll question this, but its title is Six Things Parenthood Taught Me About Social Media Marketing.
Hmm.
But the gist of the article is these are lessons that apply to social media marketing from a ministry perspective as well. And so she goes through the list. You need to do it all the time. You don't get a vacation. It's going to be difficult at first. All these things she applies to parenting and then turns around and applies them to social media marketing as well. And, you know, maybe we don't think of our efforts in ministry setting as marketing efforts, but more outreach efforts. But all these lessons apply in a similar fashion. The relationship grows stronger each day. You need to nurture it. Sometimes there will be bumps. All of these things are just good food for thought. It's not a real long read, but very good things to consider as you're mapping out a social media plan within your congregation.
Very good. I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Context.
Yeah, absolutely. I am going to, similar to last week, my pick is another hardware pick, but also one in the inexpensive category, but extremely useful. As we record this, or as this show airs, I'm probably still out west someplace, fresh on the heels of a productivity seminar I was giving out in Arizona, California, the Arizona, California district. And keeping with the productivity theme, one thing that is really useful for anybody who wants to kind of get organized is a label maker. And I've tried different ones over the years, but the one that I'm using right now is one that doesn't even have a little keypad on it. It connects directly to your computer, so it makes it easy to cut and paste and those kinds of things. And it's made by one of the key players in kind of the label maker industry, and that's Brother. It's the Brother P-Touch labeler. If you want to know the exact version, it's the PT1230PC. So, as I mentioned, it's about the size of, about the size of a fat Cracker Jack box. You remember Cracker Jack, Sally?
Back in the day,
yeah. So it's a little fat Cracker Jack box. It's got a power button. It runs on batteries, although you can use an adapter as well if you want to purchase one of those. Connects to USB to your computer. And there's some software that you would install, and it pops up once you turn it on. You type in what you want the label to spit out. It gives all kinds of different formats, and that's kind of driven by the software itself. And you just hit the start button, and out pops the label. So you got four different label widths up to a half inch wide. They're peel and stick, obviously. It has its own little button to cut it off once it spits it out. You can print multiple lines of text. And I guess you can do graphics, although I haven't played a lot with that. It'll work. I think it only works on Windows. If you're a Mac user, there's probably other products, tools that would do something similar. But, it's great for labeling file folders, boxes, CD spines, all those things to kind of keep things nice and tidy and organized so that you can find it. Part of productivity is making it fun, so you want to do it. And this is just one of those things that makes it a little bit more fun to spit out the labels and to keep things nicely tidied up in folders as opposed to stacks on the desk. And this is not overly expensive. You can pick it up at Office Depot or Staples or something like this. But I found the cheapest price on Amazon, $24.99 for a label maker. Now, obviously, you've got to buy the labels themselves that come on a roll or a little cartridge you put in there. And I'm still working on the one that came with it, so that's a good deal. So I'm not sure exactly how much the cartridges are yet, but really helpful productivity tool, the Brother P-Touch Label Maker.
Okay, so I'm getting the vibe from our listening audience, Martin. I just have to say this on their behalf. Part of the fun is part of productivity is making it fun. That's a little bit geeky. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Got to admit.
Well, if you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. I mean, if it's a painful task, filing, labeling, whatever is just it's really distasteful, then you're obviously not going to do it. So you got to make it kind of fun.
So, there you go. We actually have a little handheld one with the keyboard on it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Have used that for several years, hadn't had any complaints with it. Does a great job, and my husband and I actually fight over it, whether it's in my office or his.
There you go. It's so much fun.
Feeling it back. It is.
Who knew it could be so much fun?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to community feedback.
And we have this large community giving us feedback today, Martin. It's the Martin Feedback Show,
right.
And you've got some great things to share. So I'm going to let you talk through the feedback.
Yeah, there were just a couple links, and two of them are from Lifehacker, one of the blogs that I read fairly regularly, keeping with the productivity theme. And one, both of these articles really focus on a new tool that Microsoft has released, their online Office Docs. Or Office web apps, or whatever they're calling them. It's a competitor to Google Docs, and these articles do a compare and contrast between Google Docs, but they also do a compare. There's another article on Lifehacker that compares and contrasts their online web apps or Office apps to their desktop apps. So if you're thinking about using these tools, these might be two articles you'll want to take a look at to give you a little bit better sense for what you're in for. I've been using these for about 2 or 3 days now on a pretty regular basis. And for basic word processing or spreadsheeting or PowerPointing, I think that's probably not a word, but you know what I mean. I think they're very useful. I like them better than Google Docs. I think they're a little bit more full-featured. And another thing I like about them is it uses a similar interface to what I'm already used to in Microsoft Word or Excel or PowerPoint. They've got the ribbon interface. You can also, if you're using Office 2010, save them directly to your online folder as if it were an offline one, or as if it were something like your My Documents or your desktop. So it works very seamlessly, and I think they've done a nice job with this. Do you use that? Have you tried that, Sally?
I haven't, and I'll tell you why. I don't use Office 2010 or even Office on my home computer. I use OpenOffice, and so it's not something I normally have installed, an Office installation. And so when I went to try it out, I needed to install Office 2010 beta in order to use the web app,
right,
which was kind of surprising to me. So I don't have to do that with Google Docs. I know it's a bit simpler in its, you know, makeup, but for now I'm satisfied with what I have. I'm not ready to install more Microsoft software on my computer at home, so
right.
I haven't tried it yet.
I'll try it on your work computer. Now, I didn't know that was true, so when you went to your SkyDrive account, which is how you can get to these Office web apps, or now it's available through Facebook as well, it does require you to have a local copy of Word running or available?
They wanted to install the Office 2010 beta before I could use web apps. So I just, you know, Googled web apps to try and find, you know, like Google Docs. I can go to docs.google.com, and I tried to go there, and I kept coming back to install this beta. And so I read a little bit deeper, and it said, yeah, to get started, I needed 2010 beta on my computer.
So. Well, that kind of makes sense, but I'm going to look into that a little bit more because I know that Microsoft is not in the free software business usually, although they do have some Live Essentials stuff, you know, that works pretty well. But I think they don't want to sabotage their regular Office market, their desktop app. So very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. The other thing that I wanted to mention was an article I ran across about, a great article about 17 fresh web tools for working with colors. I've talked about the fact that I'm fairly color challenged, how colors blend and work with each other or don't work with each other. Especially in web design, it's important to obviously do some nice color matching. And this is an article from Mashable, I believe. Yeah, it's Mashable, that outlines some of the top online color matching tools. We've talked at length about some of these in the past, like Color, K-U-L-E-R, from Adobe, and a few others. But this lists some 17 that I think are probably worth considering if you are looking for some good online tools to help you pick colors for your website. Some of them allow you to upload logos and do color matching based on that. You can do complementary colors, contrasting colors, monochromatic themes, those kinds of things. They all do something a little bit different, but it seems like an explosion of these kinds of tools. And one thing that they all share is that they are all, I believe, free.
I like that price tag. And I noticed there's even places to check your color palette for accessibility and ease of reading and everything. So it's not just about choosing the right colors, but, you know, making sure they're compatible. There's ways to search on a color scheme and things like that, too. So very useful list. And I was surprised, but Adobe's Color is not on the list. So
Yeah, I saw that. I noticed that, too. Yeah.
So there's lots of these great tools out there. It makes me feel like I almost know what I'm doing because I'm really color challenged, but fun to play with these tools for sure.
Yep, very useful. So where are we headed next week, Sally?
Well, we are going to the East Coast, to Liverpool, New York, to visit with Pastor Jeremiah Gumm, who is at Cross of Christ in Liverpool, and he is a blogging pastor. And I would say that's one of the common questions we get here on the Wells Tech podcast is, you know, why blog and how do I get started and how often should I blog, you know, just things around blogging. What's the big deal about blogging? And so we thought we'd find out about Pastor Gum's experience with blogging, you know, some of the behind-the-scenes mechanics of how he gets it done and what kind of impact it's had on his ministry.
Yep, very good. So we started in Colorado. We made a stop in New Ulm, Minnesota. Now on to the East Coast. I can't wait to find out where we're going next. Let's close the show with the music of Mike Wessendorf, his song Found from his album Climb the Mountain. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.